119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, with 176 verses to be exact. And it is all about the word. It's traditionally entitled, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet." And another translation has the title, "Meditations of the excellencies of the word of God." How beautiful is that? Meditations of the excellencies of the word of God. And the psalm gives us insights into some of the essential characteristics that we should believe about God's word. And so today, I'm just going to share a few of those from this psalm about God's word that have impacted me personally. So if you are taking notes today, the first point is that God's word grounds us. God's word grounds us. Psalm 119, verse 31 says, "I hold fast to your statutes." Another version says, "I cling to your testimonies." I found myself in my final year of high school, and I'd been put in the position of leadership, both at my boarding school and my school as head girl. I was very driven. I joined every committee possible. There were so many things that I wanted to do, that I wanted to achieve. I had a lot of desires in my heart and in my life, but I was being pulled in so many different directions that it left me floundering quite pathetically through my matric year. I had great difficulty even making decisions on a day-to-day basis, and I just felt so overwhelmed. I had a journal at that stage that I'd been writing in, and at the back of the journal, I wrote all the things that I wanted to do and be in life, and they were quite contrasting things. I wanted to own my own coffee shop one day. I wanted to maybe be an ecologist. I wanted to own a floral shop and be a florist. I wanted to be a game ranger. And there were all these things Gabe can testify to. He's like, whoa, there was a lot of things that were going on in your life at that stage. And it was this crucial junction in my life for me. And I'm very aware that it could have gone one of two ways. Could have gone this way or that. But I'm so thankful to God. At that stage, I had a newfound friend, and she saw I was in a bit of a crossroads and in a turmoil, and she took the time to sit down with me and started working her way with me through the scriptures in the Bible. She sat with the Word of God with me, and she worked her way through the scriptures. And towards the end of that, she spoke to me about actually my sin and where I was feeling hopeless and overwhelmed and weary and tired. She showed me the scriptures of the words of Jesus. And I in that moment, after going through God's word together, actually said, I need this Jesus in my life. I need him in my life. And I made a commitment to follow Jesus that day. And at that time, I didn't really know what it meant to be a Christian. It wasn't this thing that I'd now gotten a hold of and was going to make a theology of, but I knew that I needed to get my hands onto that Bible, on those words, on those scriptures that she shared with me, and that brought life to my soul where I was feeling overwhelmed. I had to get my hands on that book. And I don't know how to this day, I don't know where I found it, but I got my hands on one of those maroon-covered Good News Bibles. It's the Bibles that you find in the pews. And so that the reason why I share that silly little story maybe, but it was that book that grounded me, where I was the strong, independent, incredibly driven young girl, but being thrown this way and that way. It was God's word that grounded me. I needed the word to cling to. I needed God's word to hold fast to. And maybe metaphorically, you paging through the book of your hopes, your desires, choices, decisions, maybe even disappointments in your life, and you feeling like you're floundering through life, I want to encourage you today, would you choose his book, his words, as the grounding point of your life? Cling to God's word. I hold fast to your statutes. We need the word of God to ground us. in a world where we are. We're being pulled and swayed by so many things. Sometimes they're not even evil things. They could be just good things. But are we allowing God's word to keep us grounded in Jesus? When we cling to God's word, it keeps us grounded in him. I hold fast to your statutes. I cling to your testimonies. Point two, God's word is true. God's word is true. We're also aware of how fickle information in our world is. You can't trust everything you read on the internet these days. We can't even trust everything we see on social media. Magazine pictures are being airbrushed. Statistics can be manipulated. Even my own heart and eyes can deceive me. And it's exhausting trying to make sure that every article I'm reading, every picture I'm looking at, every video I'm watching is from a reputable source and not fake news. But the word of God is entirely true and always true. What a relief to know that the word of God is entirely true and always true. Like the psalmist, we can trust in the word, verse 42, knowing that it is altogether true, verse 142. We see in John 17:17, Jesus says, God's word is truth. God's word teaches only what is truth. And the Greek word for the Greek scholars in the house, the Greek word used here for truth, it's surprisingly not an adjective. It's not describing something, meaning your word is true. It's a noun. It's truth. This implies that God's word doesn't simply conform to some external standard of truth. It is the truth itself. God's word embodies truth, and it is therefore the standard of truth which we must test and compare everything else to. What a relief for us to know, a relief for my soul, to know that we have God's word as our standard of truth. Many years ago, shortly after I came to Life Changers Church and got married to Gabe, we were trusting for my mom's salvation and really praying for her and trusting that she would come to know Jesus. And there were moments, to be honest, there were moments where it was really hard in the natural of what I saw at times with my own eyes and in my own heart. I felt quite hopeless and quite despondent. But in those moments, I had to know what God's truth was for my mom. I had to turn to God's word as truth and trust God's word as true. Not my own emotions, not my own feelings, not what I even saw in the natural. We had to trust God's word as our standard of truth. And maybe you find yourself in a situation today where you think to yourself, I need to know what's true. I need to know what's true about my future. I need to know what's true about God. I need to know what's true about life. Then I'd love to say to you, come to God's word. God's word is truth. And to land this point, if we go back to that John 17:17 scripture that I shared earlier, your word is truth. What precedes that statement is Jesus saying, sanctify them by your truth. And that word sanctify there, it's this term or process of sanctification. And it's basically, it's just a long life process and journey of us going on, becoming more like Jesus. Whether it's in our thought life, in our hearts, in the way we live, becoming more like Jesus. And I love that Jesus uses this. He's praying for his disciples in that John 17:17. He's praying for his disciples. And he's saying, in order for us to become sanctified, we need to believe God's word as truth. We need to believe his word as truth. We become what we behold. I wonder why the stats say our generation is one of the most confused and depressed generation. And I think it's because we spend so much time obsessing over the wrong things. Social media, news reports, and the ever-changing opinions of man. Get into God's truth, and his truth will get into you. God's word is true. But we have to decide whether it's true for us, for me, and let God's word do the truth work in our lives. Will we allow God's word to be the standard of truth in our lives? Thirdly, God's word is right. His word is right. We find ourselves in a world and a culture where there's so many right things to do. There's so many right ways to live our lives. And it can be a bit confusing at times. But we need to acknowledge God's right to issue commands and accept his commands are right. God's word is right. Psalm 119 verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that your rules or your judgments are right, are righteous. Psalm 119 verse 68 says, all God's commandments are sure, are faithful. They're considered something ultimately certain, stable, and unchangingly fixed. Psalm 119 verse 28 says, all his precepts are right. And I'm going to be honest with you here. I can actually be very stubborn by nature. I know, right? You wouldn't say. And I really, really like to be right. I was hoping my husband wouldn't amen too loudly there. He just gave a good chuckle. So brownie points to him. But all jokes aside, I really like to be right. And when I'm confronted with the truth that I might be wrong in a situation, which often plays out in my parenting and in my marriage, I immediately, my heart and my emotions want to self-justify and validate, yeah, I am right. Who are you to say, I am right? Our boy Benji, who's turning 5 coming up, he's recently found this passion for puzzles. And now though, as he's gotten bigger, the puzzle pieces have gotten smaller and the puzzle picture has gotten bigger. So it's a little bit harder to complete a puzzle compared to when he was a bit younger. And by the end of it, it's taken a lot longer than it used to. He wants to get this puzzle finished. And by then, any puzzle piece is just starting to fit. And this one definitely looks right. And he's trying to push them in and force them in just to get the puzzle done. But they're just not quite right. And I think we can often be like that with God. God, I really need this puzzle piece to fit into my narrative, into my right. I really want to date this girl, but is it right? All my friends gossip at work, so surely I can too. It's my money that I earned, so surely I don't have to sow into God's kingdom. I love Jesus. Oh, gee, I love Jesus. But the thing about loving my neighbor, no, that's not right for me. I really need this piece to fit. Humbly acknowledging and accepting God's word as right is hard because it doesn't always fit in with my right. And I want to self-justify and I want to go, I am right. I am. It's inconvenient and it's definitely not easy. But God is faithful in applying the power and the promise of his word. All we need to do is acknowledge his word as right. It's like you've got somewhere to go. You're going to go to a destination. You've got your location ready for a meetup or an appointment. And you're driving in your car. You've added your destination into Google Maps or into Waze. And it's told you exactly which way to go. And that it's the quickest and the fastest route, the best route to go. But it's definitely not the way you normally go. You know exactly which route you normally take. And you decide, you know what, actually, Google Maps, I'm going to listen to my own sat-nav today, and I'm going to take my route. And bam, you hit traffic, and you start sweating, and you start stressing, because now you know you're going to be late. And you wished you'd gone with Google Maps' suggestion. Likewise, we must trust the navigation system of God's word on what is right, not our own. His word is right. Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Fourthly, God's word demands obedience. Psalm 119, verse 129. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I will obey them. God's word demands obedience. And obedience can often have this negative connotation of being we don't talk about that one, especially when it comes to God and his word. Like, whoa, that's a heavy one for you, obedience. Whoa, don't put that one on me. Because obedience isn't always wonderful. But as the psalm says above, his word is wonderful. We don't always obey because it feels wonderful. We obey because God's word is wonderful. And I'm sure some of the teachers or the parents in the room can relate to this one. When you give kids instructions to go and clean the room, and they're like, yeah, I'll get to it, I'll do it. But there's a difference between I'll do it, and I will do it. There's a difference in the response. The first one is, yeah, if I get there, when I feel like it, yeah, if it suits me. And the second one is a now decision. I will do it. James 1 verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And this is a really challenging scripture for me when I think around obedience and what it means to obey God's word. We can deceive ourselves. That's so hectic. The scripture says we can be deceived if we're just merely listening to the word. And I think there's a difference between loving and wanting to obey God's word to actually obeying God's word. That's a nice suggestion. I really want to, but I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. No, actually, we need to obey God's word. Partial disobedience is disobedience. Delayed disobedience, is still disobedience. God's word demands obedience. We say it here often, but I love that phrase, radical futures demand radical obedience. What do you want for your life? Do you want a radical God future? I want that. I want a radical inheritance for my kids one day. I want them to grow up knowing the word of God and knowing that his word is right. What do you want for your God future? I think we can often get so disgruntled and disappointed. There's often, there's situations where I've encountered in my life where I'm like, I don't have peace here. There's chaos or there's disorder. Are we obeying God's word? We need to obey God's word and live under the authority of God's word if we want to walk into a radical God future. On the other side of our obedience, people are waiting. And when I think about obeying God's word and being obedient to him, I always think about, actually, God also has us on a mission as a people. He's called us to reach people for Jesus and for God. And that mission requires our obedience. I often think about my mom first joining our church back when we were still in Tableview and we hadn't planted yet. And actually, there were people who were obedient to God's word who came and loved her, who genuinely worshipped God. And there was something of a difference there. There was something of, she was like, what? I don't understand. What is this? This is different. But it's when people were radically obeying God, there was something that attracted her to Jesus. And I think that's what people are wanting in our world. They're wanting a radical life. People can sniff fake from a mile away. We all know that. If we're wanting to reach people for Jesus, we need to be reflecting the word of God and Jesus in our lives. Are you being obedient to God's word in the way you live, think, and speak? Or are we merely just hearing the word and forgetting it? Obeying God's word is a catalyst to know Jesus more. God's design was never for you just to become a better version of yourself to obey his word, as you obey his word. But the obeying him gives us access to intimacy with Jesus, to know him. He is the great prize and joy of our obedience to God's word. He is the living word. I've experienced the obedience to God's word to be a catalyst in my own life and people's lives around me. And a catalyst is a substance that increases the rate of a chemical action, reaction. Forgive the biology terms, I have a BSc. But when I thought about the word of God, in the sense of it being a catalyst, it's the more you actively obey God's word, the more you want to know him. And the more you know him, the more you desire to obey his word. It's this ongoing reaction, and it causes you the snowball effect. I want to know you, Jesus. That's why I'll obey your word. I obey your word because I want to know you. And the more you know him, the more you'll desire to know, obey his word. God's word demands obedience. And fifthly, God's word produces life. Verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction. Your word has given me life." I've experienced many dark days in my walk with Jesus. I've experienced close friends unexpectedly passing away in devastating and tragic ways. I had a baby who had colic as a newborn. And so where I should have had joy as a mom, I had endless days of screaming and crying, dark days of not being able to comfort my child, not being able to bring him any relief, feelings of hopelessness and helpless. And more recently, I've been struggling with chronic lower back and nerve pain for the last 2 years. And I've had feelings of guilt because I can't do all the things I used to do. Am I enough for my children? Am I enough for my husband? With the chronic pain literally sapping the life out of me and leaving me exhausted and weary, I had to find my lifeline in God's word. In those dark days, I had to strengthen myself in God's word over and over again. Make a decision to find his promised life despite the dark days in his word. And practically what that looked like for me, I had to make an active decision every day. Come pain, come sorrow, come hopelessness, come helplessness, I'm going to read God's word. I'm going to get into the scripture. Scripture before screen time. Because we can numb ourselves with screen time. I'm having the worst day of my life. All I want to do, it's exhausting sometimes to have to go read now. It takes more effort with your mind and mental. Let me just go to screen time and just scroll and just numb myself. I had to change my view of God's word. From reading the word of God to just wanting to make quick withdrawals. I just need just a quick pick-me-up for the day so I can just limp and make my way through the day. No, actually, we need to view God's word as making deposits. Not an ATM mentality when we read God's word, but a bank mentality. The word, even in Psalm 119, it says, store the word up in your heart. Make deposits, because when those dark days come, and they will come, will give the Holy Spirit something to work with, the word deep in your heart. This view of God's word of making deposits, it's not always instant, and it definitely doesn't feel glorious at times, but being disciplined in God's word brings life. It produces life. Psalm 119, verse 92 to 93. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Jesus is the giver of life, and Jesus is on every page of God's word. God's word produces life. This book, God's word, has changed my life. It grounds me. It teaches me what is right. Convicts me on what is true. It helps me obey Christ. It breathes life into my weary soul and reveals more of Jesus to me. He is on every page and desires you to know him through his word. He desires you, Jesus. Will we allow God's word to ground us, to be our truth, to show us what is right, help us to obey, and produce abundant life?